Good morning, members and guests. We'll call the meeting of the Agriculture, Rural Economies, and Veterans Affairs Finance meeting to order, and the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Junkie?
Here.
Representative Welty?
Here.
Representative Finstead?
Here.
Representative Doty?
Here.
Representative Faust?
Here.
Representative Hamilton? Representative Hansen? Representative Heidgerken? Representative Magnus?
Here.
Representative Olin?
Here.
Representative Otremba? Representative Peterson? Representative Poppy?
Here.
Representative Szymanski?
Here.
All right, in your packets you have a copy of the minutes from February 6th. Representative Finstead moves approval of those minutes. Is there any discussion? Seeing none. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Minutes are adopted. Members, today is hearings on ethanol pricing and all things ethanol 101, I think is what we're going to call it. I think it behooves this committee, I will tell you, and I think a lot of people will shake their heads, that you know, one of the number one questions we get out in farm country and across the state is regarding the price of ethanol. You know, why is it 10 cents different at this pump and 30 cents here and 50 cents down here? And boy, you know, if it was always a 20% difference, I'd buy more of it. But even though I have a flex fuel car, I really don't pull in and use it much, or on and on and on. I think it's one of those things that is in the purview of an industry that we don't have much understanding of here in the ag department. And I think it also behooves us, members, in this finance committee. The governor, I think to his credit, I will say, put out, I think, $12 million grants, one-time grants, for people to add E85 pumps around the state. And again, I think that's a laudable goal. It's something we've been doing, as you know, through Mr. Gerlach and his organization and the Department of Agriculture for a number of years. We've had these grants. And Mr. Lee, who's here today, will talk to us about how he's actually helped fund some of those and get some stations going in western Minnesota. But I think what we need to discover and discuss and understand is how can we best use that money, if it's available, at the end of the day, to actually promote more ethanol usage in the state. Is it simply just putting in pumps? Or is that just diluting what's already there and you're not increasing 1 gallon? Is there better ways to look at it? Is it pricing the problem? Is it a matter of education and promotion, curbside promotions of the products? Do people know they're driving flex fuel vehicles? Do they know they can pull into a pump? Do they know it's available? Do they understand why they should be using it? I don't know where we go exactly, which is why we have committee hearings, but I think a good place to start is on the pricing of the product and just trying to get an overview. So when you look at your agenda today, and we are going to try and be out of here at 11:30 because my L.A. set up an appointment for me at 11:30, I think she's starting to give me a hint now that, so you can thank her for that. I know we've run long the last few days, but I'll try and cut people off if they get a little long-winded. So testifiers, keep that in mind. Also, to the new guests in the audience, a reminder to shut off your cell phones. And to members, and if you want to let your cell phone ring, we'll take a buck in the coffee jar on the table. And again, I think maybe we'll continue with the policy, too, that if you answer your cell phone, it's $5. So if we hear you talking on it. But as you look through this, I think we have a pretty good blend of people from departments on down to the retail side who can maybe help us understand the system a little bit. So think about questions you might have as they go through. We'll try and get them all answered, and we want to get through this today. So without any further ado, let's get, we have Tim Gerlach and Mike Bull on first. We'll bring them both up. Tim's from the, of course, you know, the American Lung Association, one of the better websites, by the way, and we thank you for that. For folks looking for E85 information, they've just done a phenomenal job the last few years, and I think most of us have probably been out there. But again, maybe they can give a good introduction. I've also asked, I don't know if he's got it or not, but I've asked Mr. Bolt to share with us. I think the department tracks the price of ethanol and the gallons sold, and maybe we can start seeing some trends in the different pricing, price differences between unleaded and ethanol, and how much sells in this state, and do we see gallon increases or not. And if he doesn't have that today, we're going to ask him to figure that out for us. But, okay, he's got it. All right. Well, welcome to the committee, gentlemen. And by the way, if anyone else in the audience wants to testify besides on this list, please let our pages up here know as soon as possible so that we can make sure we don't run out of time for anyone in the audience that might want to visit with us. Welcome, gentlemen. I don't know who wants to go first, but that's up to you. Introduce yourself for the tape, and please proceed in a timely manner.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to testify today. My name is Tim Gerlach. I'm Vice President of Clean Fuels and Vehicle Technologies for the American Lung Association of the Upper Midwest, a six-state region, including my home, Minnesota. I passed out some information to you, some black folder packets that have some background information, as well as two summary pieces. One is just a single sheet of paper kind of summarizing some bullets that we looked at as being important, as well as a collection of pages stapled together in color that I'd like to speak from today. The Minnesota E85 project began in 1997-98 when the U.S. Department of Energy, Ford Motor Company, and several other organizations, including local partners like Minnesota Corn Growers, the Department of Commerce, the Ag Department, and others, came together and selected three pilot markets. One was the Twin Cities area, the others were Chicago and Denver, and I guess, as they say, the rest is history. Since that time, we have accomplished the largest E85 fueling network in the country by far. My organization, the Lung Association, has been home to that, or the clearinghouse of that, on behalf of all the partners involved. And we do the day-to-day things. Myself and my staff talk to service stations, try and connect them with fuel supplies. At midnight on some nights, we're even putting decals on pumps. Not so much of that anymore, because it has kind of grown into its own life. But we issue the service station grants, we conduct the station promotions, we try and find money to make all of it happen. And if you've seen E85 news recently, you've seen that a lot of states are now hopping on the bandwagon. Last night, the governor of Michigan put out a challenge to Minnesota, I guess, in her State of the State address. And you can see that on the internet this morning. States like New York, with large grant programs, waiving of the state road tax, and all sorts of interesting incentives, trying to do what we all have done here. Again, my organization, our role in this is in the environmental side. We look at E85 as being a clean air choice, a step that we can make today. Now it's not hydrogen fuel cell vehicles or whatever that might be around the corner somewhere. It's something we can all do today, and it's pretty easy to do. It's not a silver bullet. It's maybe what people call a silver BB. You're going to need lots of those things, whether it's climate change issues, emissions, reducing petroleum, whatever. Our goal is to make it mainstream, like the sign, the highway sign put here. We hope to see these all over the state, and we're working with the Department of Transportation to make that happen. Currently, we have about 312 stations operating. Sales last year were 125% higher than the previous year, about 600% over the 2004 totals. Still very, very small compared to gasoline. And I don't want to overplay that. I think the service stations that have invested in this, their own money, their own part of their business, are, for the most part, doing well, but there are some issues out there that we have to address. The rest of the packet, I guess, pretty much just goes through some of the details. The E85 team approach, as I tell people, this is the plan we would have followed if we'd known what we were doing when we started. We have, quite honestly, we failed more than we've succeeded, because when we started this, no one else had done it. We were looking ahead 5, 10, 20 years, and we've had to learn from that. But now we are speaking to others and transferring those lessons learned to other states. They want to be like us. At least that's what I hear. on the last pages, I include some information that we received from some ethanol industry people, and I know Bill Lee is here and others that can certainly comment on ethanol production. But from our perspective, it does look like a healthy gold rush of sorts is going on in the ethanol industry. A lot of production, a lot of plants being built. And, you know, E85, we look at playing a role in that future market. How? I can't quite answer that. I believe that sometime by the end of this decade, maybe half of all vehicles produced by Ford, GM, Chrysler, maybe others, will be E85 capable. At least that's what they're telling us. And I guess in closing, Mr. Chairman, I would offer that the American Lung Association and our expertise that we've developed over almost the last decade now, we offer it to you all as a resource, to others, if we can help answer questions or serve you in some way. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gerlach. We're all kind of competitive people around the table. What was the challenge Michigan issued to Minnesota?
Mr. Chairman, the governor of Michigan has suggested that they will build 1,000 stations, and as the author of the article I saw put in quotes, watch out, Minnesota.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Heidgerker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Gerlach, good seeing you again, and I want to commend you. I know a number of years ago, I think the first E85 bill carried here was carried in. You've been down, I think, 3 years in a row testifying on bills that I've carried in regards to E85. And I want to give you a lot of credit for getting the publicity out there with the marathons and everything else at the Lung Association. But you did create a stir, and you got people thinking in E85. But yet, at the same time, I seen you last year out in Belgrade. I saw you out in Freeport. I saw you all over the place, and you're still out there promoting the 85. And there's a good show, Represent Junkie, that's on Chasm out in my district every Saturday morning called Ag Talk. Mike Adams, the guy has been a proponent of ethanol in E85, and it's a national program. It's just a super program. But Representative Magnus, let's hope we go further and get the soy involved, and we need to get that as the next step. But that, I think he's going to respond. Thank you.
To that point,
Mike Adams is a good friend of mine, Representative Heidgerker, and he does a great job on his show. But just to that point, as long as we have Mr. Gerlach on the stand here, your organization certainly was key to getting biodiesel started. And supported not only the E85 effort, but supported the biodiesel effort, because the soybean organization worked hand in hand with you and Mr. Chairman and the rest of the committee members here. This is a good illustration of how a good partnership can work for the good of the state, and I really appreciate the efforts you've done, not only for ethanol, but for biodiesel, too.
Representative Heidgerker?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Back to Mr. Magnus, I represent Magnus. I hope that we can pursue in one of the committee meetings here soy diesel. And I have a school district, Minnewaska, I think it's the only one in the state of Minnesota, that the entire fleet of school buses are operating with the soy diesel. And one of the big issues is school safety. And it's something that I think we need to pursue, because the students, when they get somewhere on the bus for a couple hours and they're smelling that diesel, it's not healthy. On the other hand, soy diesel is far more healthy. It's something I think that we need to promote far more. But I'm looking for your leadership, Representative Junkie.
Thank you. Representative Faust.
Thank you, Chairman. My question is referring to the information you handed out. You're saying that there's 6 million E85 capable vehicles in the United States. I was told by somebody that I consider to be a relatively reliable source that only 2% of those cars are burning E85. Is that approximately correct? And if that is, do you have the number of the cars in Minnesota that are burning E85? My guess is it's much higher than 2% because we have more stations, so there should be more.
Mr. Gerlach?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, the best estimate is between 3 and 5% of all vehicles on the road are flexible fuel. In 2006, the best estimate we have is between 45 and 60 million gallons of E85 were sold nationally. Roughly 18 and a half million were sold here in the state. I guess some simple math, if I had my calculator, would be the 140,000, 150,000 flex fuel vehicles registered in Minnesota and the 18-something million gallons sold. Certainly, we're nowhere near the point where the gallons used by each flex fuel vehicle is anywhere near, you know, what it ought to be, frankly.
Representative Paulus?
The question isn't as the percentage of vehicles that are flex fuel, but the percentage of flex fuel vehicles that are using ethanol or E85. The number I heard was around 2% national of out of those 6 million flex fuel vehicles, only 2% are burning E85 at any given point. And do you know anything about, is that right or wrong? And then on the state level, is that number much higher, or is that about the same?
Mr. Gerlach.
Representative, I'm not sure about the exact percentage, but certainly the vehicles are sold nationally in places where there aren't many 85 pumps. They sell them everywhere.
Mr. Bull, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Mr. Chair, I'm Mike Bull. I'm the Assistant Commissioner for Renewable Energy at the Minnesota Department of Commerce. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today and appreciate being able to sit with Tim and bask in the reflected glow of Mr. Gerlach. I work primarily on renewable electricity issues, but one of my duties is to help coordinate amongst the various agencies on their renewable energy responsibilities. So I get into biofuels and biogas issues as well. And also, the Minnesota Department of Commerce is the home of the successor agency to the State Department of Energy. Over time, but that NP has morphed into a number of various agencies and now is residing in the Energy Division at the Minnesota Department of Commerce. So we've had, and the initial E85 pumps that were placed in Minnesota, a number of them come through the federal Department of Energy grants that Tim referred to through our agency. So we've had a long experience in promoting E85. One of the things that I wanted to chat with you about today is that a little bit off topic, but it puts it in a context that the governor was one of the early endorsers to the 25 by 25 national initiative to have 25% of our energy, our total energy, come from renewable resources by 2025, relying heavily on the agriculture community for meeting those goals. And we've also committed that to that goal on a state level. So I'm hoping and I expect, if I don't do a terrible job today, that I might be invited back to discuss the broader context for renewable energy. I hope that, and I expect, and I know, Mr. Chair, your interest, and I've talked with a number of the members of the committee on their keen interest in developing Minnesota's renewable resources across the board.